Hey, I'm Lexi. Book me for singing, songwriting, engineering, vocal production, and lessons through social media at LexiATL, email at LexiSolo@gmail.com, text at 404-692-1299, or go to my website, LexiATL.com. Right now, you're tuned into my podcast, Lex Chat, a show dedicated to music and entertainment, where we talk about the industry and the business, and we help each other to become better artists. You can catch these chats live on Instagram at LexiATL, that's at LexiATL, to be part of the conversation, or catch the replays on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and YouTube. Wherever you're watching or listening, please like, subscribe, follow, and engage with the content by leaving comments and reviews. If you'd like to go the extra mile in supporting me, then please do so by going to my Patreon, patreon.com/LexiATL, where you can pay a small monthly subscription to show support. This week on Lex Chat, I want to do a continuation of the Hip Hop to Prison Pipeline episode that I did a couple weeks ago. Today, I won't be going into a deep dive like we did, but I want to get into my theories on why hip hop is where it is today. When I say hip hop is where it is today, I'm saying that hip hop is not that great anymore. It doesn't feel the same anymore. There's no soul in hip hop anymore. And the right messages are squashed, with the wrong messages getting the full support of the machine and eventually the audience. At least they're led to believe that they like the wrong messages. But anyway, hip hop is in a bad place right now. And even the industry has been said to be moving away from rappers. I think it's because of a few reasons. The integrity of hip hop has been compromised. The imagery of hip hop shifted once the integrity was lost. And the sound of hip hop just is not the same. Too many people today think rap is all about the beat, but the words are just as important. The words actually complete the presentation of the song, and I also want to briefly talk about the difference between hip hop and rap, because they are two different terms that people just don't realize. But if any of this sounds like a conversation you want to dive into with me, please stay tuned for Lex Chat. Hey, my name is Lexi, and right now you're listening to my song, I Understand, available on all streaming platforms. Check it out and let me know what you think. And I already waited too long to enjoy the cravings. Wish I never waited. So if you're smoking, yeah. If you're drinking, yeah. If you're leaning, yeah. If you popping, yeah. Gonna smoke that shit. Gonna smoke it. Yeah, I understand. Gonna drink that shit. Gonna drink it. Yeah, I understand. Gonna lean that shit. Gonna lean it. Yeah, I understand. Before we kick off the show, let's give a shout out to the sponsors. First and foremost, shout out to my patrons, Mr. Flat Shoals and Eldon Cleary. Thank you guys so much for supporting me. If you are watching or listening and you would like to support me by becoming a patron to support me, you can do so by going to patreon.com/LexiATL and pledging a monthly subscription. Subscription, not subscription. You can plan a monthly subscription, shout out, you feel me? I also want to tell you about the brand I Am Bobby Fischer and the Cool Bear Collection. Bobby Fischer ENT, better known as BFE, is a clothing brand known for its bold, eye-catching graphics, oversized silhouettes for the urban street casual wear, and a seamless blend of high and low fashion elements. I got a few pieces from BFE, which were two shirts from the Cool Bear Collection and a shirt from the Pressure Collection. Right now, my favorite piece is the Cool Bear t-shirt dress for the ladies. The one I got comes in orange and has the big Cool Bear graphic on the front. It hugs my arms and it flails out at the bottom, coming just above my knees. It's soft, it's breathable, And it comes with pockets, which every girl loves, so we can hide our snacks in the pockets. You know what I'm saying? Right now, you can add the Cool Bear collection to your closet by going to www.iambobbyfisher.com. They're currently running a sale on the Cool Bear collection. Get 2 items from the Cool Bear collection for $25, or get 3 items from the Cool Bear collection for just $50. That means you can shop all of my looks by going to www.iambobbyfisher.com. See details in the description and episode notes. Thank you to I Am Bobby Fisher for sponsoring this episode. If you would like to become a sponsor of Lex Chat and advertise your products and services, see details in the description and episode notes. Thank you to all of my sponsors. A few announcements before we get into the topic. My album, Love Reset, is available everywhere, but I would highly and I would preferably encourage you all to buy a physical copy by going to my website, lexiatl.com. It's the first thing you're going to see when you go to my website. Buy the physical CD so you can experience what it's like to rip open that plastic, see the art, open it up, see the CD, touch the thank you note, and just see all the work that was put into it, all the work and all the love. It's a great project. I've been getting a lot of positive feedback about it so far, and so far everyone is telling me, oh, this is a solid piece of work, Lexi, great job. And I'm so appreciative to everyone who has been checking out the CD. I have not put any major promotion behind this album just yet, and already, which is a great achievement to me, I've gotten over 200 streams on the album just by doing the direct messaging and telling people about it, people who I know, telling my clients about it. And so I'm just really excited and I'm very thankful. If I could gather 200 people in a room, I would feel like the happiest artist in the world. So I'm so happy with 200 streams. Thank you all so much to everyone who has been buying, everyone who has been listening, everyone who has been supporting and spreading the message, spreading the good word that we got some good old R&B back. I just need y'all's help to make it mainstream and get it to the top, all right? But thank you to everyone who's been supporting thus far. I also want to tell you about Lexi merchandise, which I have hats, wristbands, I got lighters, I got Lexi posters, I got t-shirts, all of these things along with the album you can find on my website, lexiatl.com. That's lexiatl.com. Next, I want to tell you about the coffee date. The next one is going to be Sunday, October 1st. You can go to my website, lexiatl.com, or you can go to the link in my bio on my Instagram page and register for the coffee date. This is free. This is a virtual thing, so you don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to leave your house. The worst you're probably going to have to do if you're on your phone is you're going to have to download the Zoom app. What's up, Jaden Amar? How you doing? The worst that you will probably have to do is download the Zoom app, but it is completely free and it is a meeting for creatives. Last time I was drinking tea, but it's a virtual meeting for creatives to get together and talk about the different challenges that we faced the past month in regards to our craft, or maybe even personal stuff, but I would prefer to keep it to the creative side. Like, you know, and we basically hold each other accountable and give each other advice and share resources with one another to help uplift each other. And, you know, being an artist is hard. You know, it's really hard to be an artist. I understand. All right. Just like the song says, I definitely understand. So this is a way to network with other creatives, but also get some actionable steps and to get some advice from other creatives who are doing what you are doing so that we can help each other to grow. Okay. So that coffee date is going to be the first Sunday of the month. It's the first Sunday of every month at 12 o'clock. The next one is Sunday, October 1st. Okay. You can RSVP on my website, lexiatl.com, to get the Zoom link. That is going to be the easiest way for you to get it. I'll see y'all on October 1st. And last announcement, We Outside Workout. I'm going to try it again. The first one was a face plop. Okay. First one was a fail. I was by myself. Nobody showed up. and that was at Piedmont Park. You got to be in Atlanta for this one. I'm going to try it again. This time is going to be anyone who's listening live, September 24th. which is this upcoming Sunday in a few days. But if you are listening to the replay of this episode, it's going to be Sunday, October 29th. The We Outside workout is the last Sunday of the month. So come out, get your workout on. Don't be afraid to come sweat with me. I would really appreciate it. And you'll be helping me to practice with my, I have a certification as a personal trainer. And yeah, anybody is invited. I'm trying to get all my creative friends to come out. But yeah, that's the We Outside workout, last Sunday of the month. Let me know if y'all are coming. It's free. Donations are welcome though. So that concludes all of my announcements. Let's get into this topic today. The topic being why hip hop is failing. So in the introduction that I gave y'all, I have a few theories as to why hip hop is failing, right? The integrity of hip hop has been compromised. The imagery of hip hop shifted once the integrity was lost. And the sound of hip hop just is not the same anymore. Okay, so I was doing a little bit of research, and to get into the integrity of hip hop, we got to get into the history of hip hop, right? And again, if you checked out the Hip Hop to Prison Pipeline episode a couple of weeks ago, this is kind of piggybacking off of that episode. And we're not going to go into as much depth as we did about the history of it. This is more so my personal theories on why I think hip hop is where it is right now. But just to give you a quick refresher and to give myself a quick refresher, Hip Hop to Prison Pipeline, basically all that was said was, you know, it's a conspiracy theory that alleges the music industry and the prison system are in bed together and have been using hip hop to push a quota for prison occupancy. Okay. Super, super interesting. It's probably one of the deepest episodes I've ever done. And I actually really quickly want to go to a bookmark of mine. Where does one find the bookmarks on here? There it is. So I'm just going to my Twitter right now, and there is a tweet that I found back on September 7th, and this was posted by @EnglishBanks. Three of the top record labels own private prisons, promote the BS to the kids, F up their minds. A lot of them probably will go to prison, and they can make money off them that way too. Pay all the women rappers to shake their tails. Get all the little black girls to do the same. They effing up our youth across the board. And we just making little horny jokes and laughing, helping them promote the dumb ish. It's wild out here. So I didn't actually post this on the Hip Hop to Prison Pipeline episode a couple weeks ago, but this was one of the things that inspired that episode, as well as I want to say, I was watching YouTube, a video by Queen Chama, and she was giving her commentary on Cardi B and Meg's song Bongos, which I also did an R&B Girl Reacts to. And she was commenting on Sexy Red and Latto's remix to some Young Nudie song. I don't know the name of it, but I really like listening to Queen Chama's commentary. And in the video, she was talking about the standard of talent in rap and hip hop today for the female demographic and how the bar is so low for mainstream artists these days. And if you've been listening to or watching me for a while, then you know that I feel like music in general started falling off 5 to 10 years ago for me. You would also know that I'm one of the worst people to ask about who's out right now, because I don't listen to a lot of the new stuff that's been coming out. I just don't like it. It's boring to me, and music is just lacking for me. And so when we did the deep dive into the Hip Hop to Prison Pipeline, we got into the history of it all. And part of that history is it's alleged that the top record companies also own stock or have a vested interest in the prison system. And there was an alleged meeting in the 90s, late 80s, early 90s. Some executive from the prison system came in, sat down with all the music executives and said, hey, stop signing political rappers, because here's where the history part comes in, right? Hip hop started in 1973. It was just something that was creative. It came from the ghettos, you know. I'm looking at this article from Academy of Music and Sound, which, when did this come out? I don't know the date on this article, but it's the Academy of Music and Sound, and it says hip hop emerged in part as a reaction to the socioeconomic conditions in Black and brown neighborhoods. The culture was broad and not just about the music. There was beatboxing, DJing, street art, graffiti, dancing, braids, hairstyles, all emerged as part of hip hop culture. Hip hop generally refers to the overall culture, while rap referred to the rhyme, creation, and lyricism originating in the battle raps that would take place on the streets. Kickstarted by the likes of Grandmaster Flash, DJ Kool Herc, and Afrika Bambaataa, music at first was largely party anthems, often played in block parties and in the underground scene. It was Herc who laid the groundwork for everything associated with hip-hop today. The Jamaican-born DJ would often speak over a rhythmic beat, known within the music genre as toasting, and at parties in his high-rise apartment. He would extend the beat of a record using two players, isolating the drum breaks by using a mixer to switch between the two, or as it is more commonly known as, scratching. The music was a product of its socioeconomic conditions, and it grew to actively express these as well, giving it a political edge. Protest rap or conscious rap grew in the 80s and the 90s with the likes of Public Enemy, De La Soul, A Tribe Called Quest, Nas, Mos Def, and N.W.A., and would often make reference to the Black Power movement of the 50s and 60s. It was a reactionary response to mainstream culture, an oppositional force. In the 80s, early gangster rap also emerged with the likes of N.W.A., Ice-T, KRS-One, Eazy-E, West Side Connection, and often crossed over into the political or protest. Rappers have been criticizing the violence of the police and law enforcement on Black people, particularly Black men, since the emergence of political conscious rap in the 80s. Hip hop reflected and responded to various racial inequalities, such as the American prison industrial complex, where Black men are disproportionately incarcerated. What Michelle Alexander calls quite convincingly the new Jim Crow. And that's so crazy because I'm working for this podcast called In-N-Out Podcast, and Michelle Alexander's name was mentioned a lot of times in the podcast today. So this is kind of crazy that I'm talking about her as well. But hip hop reflected and responded to various racial inequalities, such as the American prison industrial complex, where Black men are disproportionately incarcerated, white police brutality against Black bodies, and the socioeconomic conditions of Black urban communities, leading to factors like Black on Black crime. Okay, so I'm gonna stop right there because this next part, right? That's exactly where I wanted to go. So my point being that hip hop started out as a way to comment on and bring awareness to the injustices and the inequalities that were happening within our political system, within our social system, right? That's where it started. And like this article said, you know, there were references to the Black Power movement of the 50s and 60s. So in the 70s, yes, it was something fun to do at parties. But in the 80s and the 90s, it became more conscious, more protest, more revolutionary. Probably, to be very honest, to be very transparent, because I'm always honest, to be very transparent, probably the biggest influence for me would have been Tupac. I was born in 93. Tupac passed away in 1997. So I liked Tupac's music growing up. And, you know, same thing with Aaliyah. I didn't realize he passed away until I was old enough to realize it. But for me, Tupac was that political voice. He was that disruptor, you know. He was calling things out in his music, things that were wrong with our system. That was the 90s. So like I said, in that hip hop to prison pipeline, episode that I did, there's allegedly a meeting that took place between the executives of the music industry and the executives of the prison complex industry. And the meeting basically told the music executives, stop signing these political rappers. Stop signing these political rappers. Let's change the tone of hip hop. So then hip hop no longer is the voice of the community. It's no longer the voice of the underprivileged. Now it becomes focused on messaging that is destructive and degenerative, right? So the music flips from F the police and racial profiling and they're dropping drugs into our communities. It goes from that and encouraging us to get involved in the political system and the process. It goes from that to the violence, you know? And granted, that is a part of our history and that is a part of hip hop that was given a lot of attention. But somewhere along the line, that's like the only attention that it got, right? And y'all who are tuned in live, correct me if I'm wrong. If you are listening, then put in the comment section, tell me if I'm wrong, okay? There was more balance in music. My issue with hip hop, right, and why I feel like it's failing is because it went from awareness to ignorance. And in my opinion, after doing all the research for that episode, the Hip Hop to Prison Pipeline, I very much believe in the agenda. I was always wary and suspicious of it, but I mean, oh my gosh, y'all, the imagery that's out these days, there's no way you can deny the existence of an agenda, right? What are y'all saying? I'm not going to read that because that has no relevance to what I'm talking about. So never mind. So when you look at the imagery, right, that hip hop portrays, and I'm looking at pictures of hip hop from the 70s, hip hop in the 80s and the 90s, and then hip hop gets into the 2000s and it was still so fly. And then you look at some of the imagery from today and it's just like, wow, that meeting, they really accomplished what they said they wanted to do. They really accomplished what they said they wanted to do. So whereas hip hop used to be about, like I said, bringing awareness to the injustices and the inequalities that Black people face compared to other communities in America, this meeting, so-called, told the executives to stop signing political rappers. And here comes the emergence of gangster rap. Now, unfortunately, what had already happened was the drug wars that... Let me move my camera. What had already happened was basically the war on drugs, which was 80s was the peak of that, right? So a lot of rappers will tell you that the government dropped drugs into the Black communities, and that led to a lot of destruction of the Black community. And to circle back in the podcast that I'm working for, In and Out Podcast, probably 80 or 90% of the guests that we've interviewed so far, everyone has gone to jail behind drugs, whether they were using drugs, got caught and got locked up, or they were selling drugs, had the intent to distribute, got caught up on conspiracy, got caught up on trafficking of some sort, right? 80 to 90% of all the guests we've had, their conviction had to do with drugs. And then if y'all go back and listen to that Hip Hop to Prison Pipeline episode that I did, I'm telling you how the music starts to fantasize and glorify the use of drugs and liquor and other substances, right? And I pointed out its destruction to us because there are different classifications of drugs. First off, anything that you get caught up in with drugs, it's considered a felony. Now, how much time you get is going to depend on the classification of the drug that you are caught with, the drug that you're caught using, trafficking, distributing, whatever drug is caught up in your conspiracy, right? There's schedule 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So let me look this up. The schedules of drugs. Okay. Schedule one drugs have no medical value and high potential for abuse. Schedule 2 through 5 all have some medical value. But the drugs that are mentioned, I'm trying to see drug scheduling, DEA.gov. Schedule 1 drugs. What is the most recognizable drug in Schedule 1? Heroin, marijuana, cannabis, ecstasy, and maybe peyote. Okay. Schedule 2 drugs. What do I see? Cocaine, methamphetamine, oxycodone, Adderall. Okay. Schedule 3. What do I see? I see codeine. Codeine. That's probably what I hear most in songs, rap songs. Schedule 4, Xanax, Ambien, Valium. Schedule 5, codeine, and Robitussin. But what is that? Does that sound familiar to y'all? There's so many songs that talk about mixing codeine and lean. I wonder where promethazine falls in this, because lean is made with promethazine, I learned, because I've been around rappers, you know. But when you figure out that the things that are glorified in the music, because we moved from the political and the conscious and the revolutionary type of rap, move that to the gangster rap, and now not necessarily glorifying the lifestyle, but if hip hop is the voice, then it's simply telling about the current times. And in the 80s, that was the height of the war on drugs. And what was dropped into the hood? Cocaine. What is something that's glorified in the music? Marijuana, cannabis, weed. What do so many rappers talk about, or what have they been talking about in the past 5 to 10 years? Adderall, codeine, lean, ecstasy, Molly. Ecstasy and Molly, they're kind of different, but they originate from the same drug, right? So we go from the political stuff to only talking about the pain. Oh, and let's not forget the 3-strike rule. I don't know the official name of it. I would have to go back. Y'all would have to go back to that Hip Hop to Prison Pipeline episode. But there was a 3-strike rule. If you got caught up in prison 3 times, you're going away for a very long time. So these drugs, Schedule 1 through 5, you get a sentence of 1 to 30 years, depending on which drug you get caught up with. So 3 strikes and you're out. You're in there for basically life. Okay. I don't think it matters necessarily what you were caught for, but 3 strikes and you're out. No matter how minor the charge, no matter how minor the amount of substances that you were carrying on you, right? So the music goes to the drugs that were dropped in the neighborhood. What starts to happen? People start getting cracked out. Black families start getting broken up. Mothers and fathers sent to prison. It's harder to find work, so more people are hustling and they're pushing drugs, they're trafficking drugs, they're selling drugs to support their families, but they're getting caught up within law enforcement. And then there's crime because of the poverty, because of the desperation to survive. And it's just a terrible cycle. And a lot of the music is still F the police, you know, but a lot of the music was talking about the drugs in the community. And a lot of the music was talking about selling the drugs and making money. And, you know, there were some rappers who were like, you know, I feel like it's kind of messed up that I'm selling this to the same community that I'm supposed to be saving, or the community that I'm coming from, but I got to get up out of here, basically, right? So we move from the political, what's up, Tampa? So we move from the political rap to the gangster rap to, let me see, where does this go from here? That meeting that I told y'all about, that happened in the 90s. It was bringing awareness to the war on drugs and how a lot of people felt like the government purposely dropped drugs into the Black community to destabilize and break apart the Black families, which they succeeded in doing. So now, on top of the music no longer talking about the political system and no longer talking about the injustices, it's flipping is going to gangster rap, and it's going to drugs and drug use and selling drugs. It's going to all of those things. So after this meeting, we're no longer being encouraged to fight the system. We're no longer being encouraged to learn the system and participate in the system. Now we're basically in survival mode, and the music is only reflecting how bad it is, but there's not necessarily anything like, you know, everyone's trying to make it out, but the only way we can see out is through drugs or playing ball, right? Or through entertainment, which is funny because I'm pursuing a career in entertainment as well. And there are a lot of days where I feel a way about that, but I'm not trying to make the music that I hear that's coming out. But unfortunately, due to this meeting where executives were discouraged from signing political rappers, we are now seeing the effects of that today. So what is the effect of that? The gangster rap was the violence, and then the drug use. We start to see detachment. We start to see there's a glorification of the money, of the drugs, of the women. Nobody cares about the political process or the social justice anymore. Our attention and our focus moves to materialism and stunting, looking like we have it, because for so long, our homes, our communities were destroyed. And we are, a lot of us are coming from nothing, you know? And that's the imagery that's put into the media, showing Black people in a light of criminals and gangsters and now drug abusers and now fatherless homes, you know? And the women would be said to have fatherless behavior. And that's a problem too. So the integrity of hip-hop was corrupted. The integrity of hip-hop was corrupted. And I want to go back to this article, Academy of Music and Sound. Once hip-hop entered the mainstream, it became increasingly commoditized and increasingly consumed by white audiences. Interesting. And I have not read this article ahead of time, so y'all are on this journey with me. But the gangster image was seized on in pop culture, and in this became a popular and essentialist way to view this generation of Black youth. Hip hop has a lot of important things to say, but as the culture became commodified and popular to the masses, certain things like references to violence, thug or gangster lifestyles, and even misogynistic lyrics were heightened in order to sell more records. Problematically, these were often taken as literal representations of Black life and Black people. Often it was also seen as synonymous with hip hop. Many have argued that there is a lot more to be taken from hip hop than these base level assumptions and stereotypes. Many critics of hip hop tend to interpret lyrics literally as a direct reflection of the artist who performs them. They equate rappers with thugs, see rappers as a threat to the larger society, and then use this causal analysis that hip hop causes violence to justify a variety of agendas. More police in Black communities, more prisons to accommodate larger numbers of Black and brown young people, and more censorship of expression. It gets deep, y'all. For these critics, hip hop is criminal propaganda. This literal approach, which extends beyond the individual to categorize an entire racial and class group, is rarely applied to violence-oriented mediums procured by whites, says hip-hop scholar Trisha Rose. Eddie Hustle says it's been this way all the way back to 70s Black exploitation movies. Ooh, the Blaxploitation era. That's true. Why am I thinking about Jackie Brown right now? I think she was like trafficking some drugs or something. Or they were trying to frame her for trafficking drugs. I forget exactly, but Jackie Brown is something that comes to mind. Maybe even Superfly, which I haven't seen in a very long time. But yeah. So to continue with this article, aspects of rap, lyric, and video content are continually criticized in the mainstream for its representation and treatment of women. Although several critics, such as Trisha Rose and Imani Perry, have worked to reclaim Black women's positioning within the genre, there are many female participants in hip hop culture and have been since it first emerged. Studying the work of female artists can open up a space for more transgressive and nuanced interpretations of hip-hop culture. It's true that much of hip-hop's sexual politics from male producers involve demeaning representations of women, but the dialogue and interaction of the sexes in hip-hop is complex. Moreover, Black female rappers have asserted a prominent space in hip-hop, and this deserves particular attention. From the start, rappers like MC Lyte and Queen Latifah exploded onto the scene with empowering, assertive tracks like Ladies First and UNITY. Conscious artists like Lauryn Hill and Erykah Badu have been hugely acclaimed and have worked to celebrate Black womanhood. And even the female gangster rappers like Lil' Kim and Foxy Brown arguably created some transgressive space for Black female performers in hip hop. Overall, several scholars have argued for an articulation for women's role in early hip hop and for highlighting the oppositional and empowering stance many of them hold. This is a good article, y'all. This is from Academy of Music and Sound. So, I want to comment on some of those things, right? Why is hip hop failing? We already talked about the integrity of hip hop being compromised, right? So the integrity is compromised by this alleged meeting that happened. Music executives are told to stop signing the political rappers, and then gangster rap becomes a thing. The thug style, the thug lifestyle becomes a thing. I was saying the gangster rap, the drugs, the violence, and then the drug use. And then, like this article says, from Academy of Music and Sound, the commodification and popularization of hip hop culture to the masses. Well, the media linked hip hop with the most terrible images that could possibly be considered as part of a stereotype, right? But the commodification and the hip hop genre becoming popular to the masses, the violence, the thug gangster lifestyles, and the misogynistic lyrics, hate towards women, those aspects of hip hop were heightened in order to sell more records. And then, like it says right here, where did it say that? Demeaning representations. Oh gosh, where did it say? Okay, it says it right here. They equate rappers with thugs, see rappers as a threat to the larger society, and then use this causal analysis to justify a variety of agendas. More police in Black communities, more prisons to accommodate larger numbers. So that's how the prison complex and the music industry allegedly works together to give you a hip hop to prison pipeline. The integrity of hip hop was compromised. And then the image was compromised. So and maybe someone can help me understand this, right? I don't quite understand. Okay, yes, I do understand. I get it. I guess I just don't like the fact that hip hop was made popular and then hip hop was basically exclusively associated with Black and brown people, right? And then the media calls hip hop violent, calls it degenerate. And I say the same because it's killing our community. And people are blaming hip hop for the bad behaviors of the Black community. But Black community and hip hop would argue that the government is the reason why the community is this way and the reason why the music is this way, okay? And it might not even be the government. It's probably just private companies trying to capitalize off of this phenomenon to, like I said, funnel those people through the hip hop to prison pipeline, right? So the image becomes tainted. It went from partying, it went from political and revolutionary language in the music, and it was so much more than what it is now. So unfortunately, what I see in hip hop now, right? The article mentioned MC Light, Queen Latifah, Lauryn Hill. It started to get raunchy when it came to Lil' Kim, and I didn't listen to enough Foxy Brown music to know if that was raunchy too. But we had people like MC Light, we had Queen Latifah, Lauryn Hill, and those were conscious. Those were more positive imagery, at least for Black women, right? But as the integrity of hip hop changed, the imagery of the men changed and the imagery of the women changed for the worse. So, and you know what? I should do another part where we examine, why is hip hop so misogynistic? Like, what is the beef? You know what? I probably just thought of my own answer. It's a part of the agenda to divide Black men and Black women. I just want to kill these little, there's like gnats, and my house is not dirty, but they just keep popping up and it makes me feel dirty. The agenda, right? To break up the Black family, break up the Black community. Maybe the misogynoir within hip hop lyrics comes from the division between Black men and Black women and the destruction of the Black family. So now hip hop and Black people become synonymous with fatherless households, single mothers, baby daddies, baby mamas. We're not known to want to get married, unfortunately. Like, it's just all these terrible stereotypes. If you look on social media, you see it all over the place. And then the women will start to try to, well, maybe not everybody wants to get married. Like, come on. Nobody wants to live life alone. Nobody wants to have a child alone. Come on. Quit being crazy, y'all. Quit being dumb. But we're separated. Black men and Black women, we're driven apart. We're driven apart, you know? And so now we go from this queen-like, this classy air about us with the MC Lights, the Queen Latifahs. Who you calling a B-word? U-N-I-T-Y. U-N-I-T-Y, that's a unity. You know? We go from that to bongos, to Pound Town, okay, to eating groceries. I'm not gonna put the video out to this, but if y'all seen Sukihana eating some groceries, okay, and even Sukihana at the VMAs, right, busting it wide open on the carpet at an award show. I don't think she won anything. That's besides the point, though. That was just me being a little shady. But busting it wide open, you got Sexy Red, who she seems like she's legitimately having fun. But then you're going on interviews and you're saying you don't like to use protection and you've had a few STDs, but that doesn't stop you from feeling the way you do about not using protection, you know? And it's just all of these songs, like Bongos just came out, but there are so many songs that only focus on a woman's sexuality and only focus on how desirable a woman is. You know what I mean? And it's just so tired. The only thing I hear when I'm listening to this music from the female rapper side is how wet somebody's p-word is, how big they butt is, how good they body looks, even though they went under the knife and had it sculpted, they paid money to look that way. Who's got the longest weave, who's got the straightest bust down, who's got the best bags, who's got the most money, who can trick the most money out of a man, you know? And it's just not the imagery, and it's not the character that I live by. So it's very hard, right? But this is the reason why hip hop is failing. Black women are tired of being represented in this way. And to go back to the misogynistic part, the male rappers, on the male rapper side, there's so much no love for these hoes, but got love for the bros. And there's so much killing of the ops and doing drugs and having multiple women and never committing yourself to one woman. And it's like, how can you create a legacy with that? How can you ensure a bloodline with these thoughts? And the music would have you believe that nobody's thinking of marriage. And the music on both sides would have you believe that nobody even believes in monogamy and commitment, because having sneaky links is very popular right now. Did I get it? My goodness. Having sneaky links is very popular right now. And, you know, if he cheats on me, I'm going to cheat back. And that's the type of language that we have in the music. That's the kind of mindset that's out right now. So hip hop is discouraging family, and it's selling this lifestyle that's telling people they don't need anybody, but if they do get somebody, make sure that they can do something for you financially. And that's the main message on the women's side. On the men's side, you don't need these hoes. Stick with your bros. Women will never be loyal to you. Like, it's like, who hurt y'all? Who hurt you for real? But the thing that's annoying, right? You got the men saying that women are not loyal, but then they encourage other men to be disloyal to women. And it's like, how do you expect to get what you are not willing to live? How do you expect to get what you are not willing to give? And how do you expect, how do I put this? Basically, because I dealt with a guy who told me that he doesn't think that monogamy is for him, but he never saw the example growing up and he never practiced monogamy. So of course he wouldn't think it's for him, because he doesn't know what it looks like and he doesn't know what it feels like. With anything in life, right? You have to train for it. You have to practice it. A lot of people are walking around saying monogamy is not for them, but they've never developed the skills necessary to maintain a monogamous relationship. And this is another conversation for another day, but the reason why a lot of people are failing is because they don't know how to stick it out with one person. And people are so quick to discard one another and throw people away at the first sign of trouble. It's gotten so bad now that you can't even argue with somebody and expect to still be in their lives, because once you have an argument, that's basically it. There's no working it out. There's no working through it, right? There's no working through it. People, our whole culture, not just with Black people, but just in general, is so messed up, and people are so sensitive, and we are lacking so many skills thanks to social media and probably the internet to a degree, but just social media. We're just lacking so many skills. But this conversation is for a different day. So why is hip hop failing? Because, like I mentioned, Black women in droves are finally speaking up about not wanting to be represented the way that female rappers are showing. The media would have you believe that Black women are loud, we're ghetto, we're ratchet, we have multiple fathers with multiple kids, we don't have stable households, we just got a bunch of kids running around with no man in sight to take care of it. Take care of us and the kids. It would have you believe that Black men don't value family, Black men don't care about Black women, and that Black men only care about smashing as many women as they possibly can and spreading their seed, but never ensuring the growth and survival of that seed. You know, that's the imagery that we have right now. DJ65789 says, if you talk about any of this, you are labeled as a hater. Yeah. And my biggest pet peeve when I go on social media and I engage with the comments, my biggest pet peeve is when I go to the comments and somebody says, well, it's not like they're hurting anybody. They're just living their life. That might be true, but guess what? Like, people are so naive to the fact that everything has a consequence. And we are representations of one another. So if you look bad, that means I look bad. If you are acting a certain way, then people are looking at me as if I act that same way. Especially when images like Sukihana and Sexy Red get the most attention. They get the most attention right now. They're the popular things right now. And so that imagery is broadcasted to the world, and suddenly the world thinks, oh, all Black women must be loud. All Black women must be ratchet. All Black women must be very revealing, as I got my titties out on this podcast right now. But y'all ain't gonna see that on the replay. But you know, all Black women talk ghetto. They all got multiple baby daddies and are only good for their bodies and their sex. That's what the world thinks. But that's not all that Black women are, you know? So the integrity of hip hop has been compromised. The imagery of hip hop on the men and the women's side has been compromised. And then this one I would have to do more research on, but for me personally, the sound of hip hop is just not the same. The sound of hip hop is not the same. And I actually want to play a sound bite from Exhibit. I almost forgot about it, but I want to play y'all a sound bite from Exhibit. I found this on Twitter. Let me bring it up for you real quick. Hold on.
Listen, everyone sounds the same. Everybody. That listen, shit don't make listen, no sense.
Listen, there's two factors, and you got to hear me out. And I'm going to let everybody else talk, but I'm going to try to make it quick. Two factors that I believe are stifling music, because hip hop is so huge and it made so many people so much money, they think anybody can do it.
And that's the problem. It's made so much money, it's become so popular and so saturated that anybody believes they can do it. And the art form of hip hop is lost. Right? The art form is lost. So when I say that hip hop no longer sounds the same, for me, there's just no passion. There's no soul in it. I also want to read this this quote that I found from, it's Andre 3000. Dang, where did I put it at? Let me just go on here. This was also on Twitter a few months ago, back in June 15th. I don't know if this quote is real or not from Andre 3000, but it says, hip hop don't have no fresh energy, none at all. It's money driven. Everybody is trying to make that check. Nobody putting art in their albums anymore. And this is allegedly supposed to be from Andre 3000. But I have to agree, I don't feel the soul in hip hop anymore. I don't feel the connection anymore. Now, don't get me wrong. Of course, there's a time and a place for all of the different music. Of course, there's a time and a place to party. There's a time and a place to be nasty. There's a time and a place to say F the police. You know, there's a time and a place when you feel alone and you feel like people are disloyal. That there's, of course, there's going to be music for every stage, every mindset in life. But the thing that's so disappointing with hip hop, and the reason why Ebro told y'all the labels aren't, they're not checking for rappers anymore. They're going Latin and African. But the music is boring. It's soulless. The production feels lazy. The other day there was a song released and it wasn't even a new, I don't know the name of the song and I have not listened to it, but it's with Busta Rhymes and Coi Leray. And basically people were calling it out, like, cause Swiss Beatz's name is on the beat, but it's apparently the exact same beat from a previous song. So it's like, how are you going to claim that this is your production and you didn't change anything about it? Like, that's not what hip hop is about. Hip hop is not just recycling beats. It's about reimagining beats. It's about giving them new life. You know, it's how we, in a way, hip hop is supposed to be the historian of music, because hip hop is taking different elements and different pieces from older songs and reinventing it into something new that the newer generations can rock with. And we wonder, oh man, what is this? How did they mix this? You throw in some drums and you speed it up, or you slow it down, or you chop it and you screw it. And it's like, suddenly we're discovering the older acts because hip hop is doing such a great job of flipping it and reinventing it. But it doesn't do that anymore. It doesn't do that anymore. The production is lazy. And unfortunately, everybody is relying on the beat to sell the song, but the beats are not that great. The beats suck. They're boring. They're loops. The beats are loops. You put the snare in on what's supposed to be the hook, and then you took the snare out on what's supposed to be the verse. And that's like, you know, hip hop doesn't have to be as boring as it is when it comes to production right now. No key changes, no major instrument changes. It's just boring. It's just boring to me. Very boring. Very boring. It's lazy. The rappers are all talking about the exact same thing over the track. And to go back to this, everybody is relying on the beat to sell the song. There are too many people who I've heard online. Nobody in my immediate circle, we're all music people. Nobody agrees that the lyrics don't matter, right? Everybody agrees that the lyrics matter. But when I go online and I see people saying they don't care as long as the beat is dope and the cadence of the melody is dope, but that's not a complete song. If that was the case, maybe producers should just start releasing their own curated mixtapes with artists of their own choosing, because the lyrics and the delivery of the lyrics on top of the production, it's supposed to be a complete package, and it's not. Right now, it's not. The only thing that saves a lot of these songs is the clout of the artist based on whatever shocking thing they did that week to bring attention to their name, and maybe they'll slide in their music and maybe you'll check it out after that, you know? But the sound is just not the same. There's no more soul there. Everybody's talking about the same thing, and I can't connect with any of it. And no, I don't think it's just because I'm getting older. I think the music legitimately sucks right now. People don't even care about doing a decent hook. Like, I did R&B Girl Reacts to rappers Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion, Bongos. And I'm pointing out that there's not really a hook. And the opportunity for the hook, because I listened to it again, the opportunity for the hook, in my opinion, was that bung, 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 beat it up, bung, 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 beat it up, bung, 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 beat it up. That could have been the hook. But the beginning of the song was the only place that happened. And it didn't happen again. And I was disappointed because there was nothing for me to grab onto, except for the sample. I don't remember nothing Cardi said. Well, actually, I do now, since a gossip blog pointed it out. My BD is amigo, your BD is a zero. But it's just like these elementary ass raps, you know? My favorite part of the song was Megan's part. I thought she did great. Couldn't even with a student loan, couldn't school me. I like that part that she said. Hoes pop pills but can't take me. That was clever, I thought. But yeah, it's just disappointing. You know, there used to be a real pride taken in the wordplay of a song. But these days, and there used to be such pride taken in the wordplay of the song and the use of metaphor in a song. But these days, everything is way too explicit. There's no mystery. There's no wonder. There's no thinking about it and thinking about what the artist really meant, because they're just giving it to you in a third grade reading level. I forget where I said this, but when I was growing up, I think I left a comment about this. When I was growing up, there were a lot of songs that I was singing that I probably had no business singing, but I didn't understand the true meaning of these songs until I got older, because they were so good at the use of metaphors that I didn't realize what I was singing about when I was little. You know, we don't have that anymore. And there's not even a preteen market anymore in the music, but there's no mystery. Everything is way too explicit, you know? So the way that hip hop sounds and the way it feels, and I should have clarified this at the top of the episode, hip hop and rap are two different terms, okay? Rap is a part of the hip hop culture. Hip hop is the culture. Hip hop is the umbrella, and rap is a part of hip hop, but that's not the only piece of hip hop. Unfortunately, that's all we get. And unfortunately, hip hop is like synonymous with being ghetto and ratchet. It used to be so much more than that. It used to be so much more. So the reason why hip hop is failing, hip hop's integrity is gone. Hip hop's image is destroyed, and hip hop's sound has had the soul sucked out of it. That's why hip hop is failing. But y'all let me know what y'all think. If you are listening or watching, and I should say mainstream hip hop, okay? For all intents and purposes in this, we're talking mainstream, the stuff that gets the attention. So I don't want to argue perspectives here. Mainstream. You should not, as a listener, as an audience member, you should not have to look that hard for good rap music, for good hip hop. You should not have to look that hard. It was not this hard before. The wrong message gets the most light shined on it. And so we have to fight like hell to get through the BS, because the industry would have you believe that this is all that's out there, because that's what they're giving the most power to. But I don't want y'all to get confused. We as listeners should not have to try this hard to find good stuff. We should not have to fight this hard to find good music. And I think that's another agenda too, because our attentions are all over the place. It's not that our attention span is short. It's that everybody from every angle is pulling at our attention. And there are so many different places where we can be looking at now. I think that's the true issue. But y'all let me know what y'all think. If you are listening to Lex Chat, if you are watching Lex Chat, then please leave a comment or leave a review. And let me know what you think about this topic. Do you agree with what I'm saying? Do you disagree? My overall conclusion of this is that hip hop's integrity has been compromised. The image of hip hop has been destroyed, and the sound of hip hop has had all of the soul sucked out of it. Do you agree? Do you disagree? Let me know in the comments and the reviews. But I want to thank y'all so much for tuning in to Lex Chat today. You can catch these chats live on Instagram at LexiATL. That's at LexiATL on Instagram to be part of the conversation. Or catch the replays on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and YouTube. Leave comments and reviews. If you'd like to become a sponsor for Lex Chat, there are two ways you can do so. You can become a patron at patreon.com/LexiATL. Or you can buy advertising spots during the podcast for your business or service. Details on how to do that are in the description down below. I want to give a final shout out to my patrons, Mr. Flat Scholes and Eldon Cleary. And I want to give a final shout out to I Am Bobby Fisher. Bobby Fisher ENT, better known as BFE. Want to make sure y'all check out that Cool Bear collection by going to iambobbyfisher.com. That's iambobbyfisher.com. Check out their Cool Bear and Pressure collections. Tell them Lexi sent you. You can see those details in the description down below. Remember to check out my album. Go buy the physical copy for Love Reset at lexiatl.com. I would greatly appreciate that. Let's make music great again in general. Make music great again. And a reminder for the coffee date. That's the first Sunday of the month. The coffee date, the next one is going to be October 1st. And the We Outside workout, if you are listening to this live, then this upcoming Sunday in Atlanta, Sunday, September 24th, okay? If you are listening to the replay of this episode, then it's the last Sunday of the month. The next one's going to be Sunday, October 29th, okay? But thank you so much for tuning in to Lex Chat today. I hope you enjoyed this episode and I hope you learned some things. My name is Lexi. Until next time, peace.
Every day's a fight to feel confident, motivated. Been feeling like I'm incompetent, so been draining. Feel like I wanna get high from being so down. But if I let go and try to pull, I just might drown. Yeah, life feel complicated, and I always